Oh, John, this is so romantic. Sitting here at the canal side with the reflection of the moon glinting over the water.
I know. I can't wait till we're married. I just wish your father would come round. I don't think he likes me.
Oh, take no notice of father. He's like that with everyone. He'll be all right once he gets to know you.
What's the matter?
Look, by the bend in the canal. What's that strange light?
I don't know. I've never seen anything like it. God, whatever is it?
John, I'm scared. Let's get away from here.
I can't, Mary. I can't move.
God, help us. It's something from hell.
The Ghost Ship, a play for radio by Clecky and U3A.
The fog on the waterfront had closed right in. It swirled between the grubby warehouses filling the passages and alleys, muffling the mournful calls of the foghorns baying forlornly into the night. I stood a little way down a grubby back street, leaning against the wall under the dismal glow of a street light. The collar of my trench coat was turned up against the elements, with the brim of my trilby pulled down over my eyes in an attempt to recreate the romantic image portrayed by Humphrey Bogart in one of his films. I'd been waiting here for some time. It was cold and damp, and my feet ached. A million miles from Bogart's San Francisco, but this was Heckley, a Yorkshire mill town, and I was the only private investigator they had. I'd trailed Big Mike all the way from 22nd Street to find out what was going on. Grant Simpson, owner of the Simpson's Imports Corporation, was paying me to find out.
Hush, 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 here comes the bogeyman. Don't let him come too close to you, he'll catch you if he can.
The next morning, I caught the number 17 tram to Dewsbury to report my findings to Simpson in person. Grant lives on Park Road, which, as its name suggests, is the tree-lined thoroughfare that runs along the side of Dewsbury Park and constitutes some of the finest residences in Dewsbury. Grant's house is a splendid Gothic mansion, similar to the Conservative Club in Batley, but without the dominoes. The butler showed me into the morning room. There was another person in the room I would have preferred to avoid. She turned to me and smiled in recognition as I walked in.
Hey up, Sam. Are they here to see Grant?
The speaker had dyed black hair with enough red lipstick to paint a postbox. She was wearing a silk dressing gown over a flimsy silk negligee that left very little to the imagination. That's right, Mrs. Simpson.
Nay, love, they knows me well enough by now to call me Roxy. Grant won't be down for a while. He's on the phone to London. They'll have to put up with me for a bit. Come and sit here next to me.
She draped herself seductively over the settee, exposing a pair of shapely long legs, and leaned over to take a cigarette from the dispenser. She gestured towards a solid silver lighter on the side table in the form of comic male genitals. As I lit a cigarette, she held her body in such a position that necessitated my peering down her prominent cleavage. Put me in mind of my Cork carrier bag after I visited the melon counter. She fluttered her eyelashes provocatively. The draught extinguished the lighter.
Tell me, Sam, is it very romantic being a private eye? I bet they see some stuff.
I wouldn't say that, unless your idea of romance is trudging round the back streets in the rain with dog shit on your shoes.
Can you leave us, Roxy, love? I want to speak to Sam in private. Sit down, Sam. Tell me what you found out.
I know how Vinnie Stokes is ripping you off. One or two bales are being extracted from every shipment after they've been booked into stock as they pass through for dispatch. There's a concealed hatch into the adjoining warehouse where they're diverted and stored till Big Mike Evans makes his midnight collection once a week. You'll find the stolen bales in Stokes' textile shed on Canal Street in Huddersfield.
That's excellent work, Sam. I'm impressed. Here, take this. You've earned it. You'll find a little extra in there to cover the unsociable hours. You can leave everything with me now. I'll take care of Vinnie.
I knew what he meant. and wished I didn't.
I have another job for you.
What kind of job?
You know I own a small wharf on the canal at Calderley Marsh. It's convenient for unloading some of the more sensitive cargoes, if you know what I mean. Something's happening down there that's intimidating the workforce. Barges are refusing to dock at the wharf and they won't even sail through after it gets dark. My drivers are having to load further afield at more exposed sites. It's causing me a real problem. I want you to get to the bottom of it. Find out what's going on, Sam.
And stick him with a pin. Bogeyman will very nearly jump out of his skin.
I needed to check out Simpson's Wharf for myself. It's on an obscure stretch of the canal that passes through a cluster of derelict warehouses at Calderley Marsh. The only public house in the area is Bilge Rat, which squats by the side of the canal like a tattered vagrant. If I was to discover what was scaring the residents, I would find out here. A rough-looking bloke was standing behind the bar. He wore a grubby-stained apron with matching beard. Fortunately, one of my talents, as a successful private detective, is the ability to adopt a persona that allows me to blend in seamlessly with my surroundings. A glass of your finest shandy, if you please, landlord.
Let's see the brass first.
I slapped a half crown down on the counter.
I can't change that. What does he think this is? The Bloody Savoy?
Yeah, that's all right. I was hoping to buy some information with it.
What kind of information? There's no brasses here. And I've already told Poppers that woman's underwear I were wearing were planted on me.
Oh, it's nothing like that. I just want to find out what's going on round here that's frightening people so much that the boats won't stop.
Take back the brasses, bugger off.
What is it that has you so scared you won't even talk about it?
We're not scared enough. We don't like strangers poking their noses into our affairs.
Now get out of here before Towth here slits me up like a ruddy kipper.
A little rat-faced individual had sidled up beside me.
What's the game, mister? Coming in here asking questions like that? That better get out while you can still walk.
I think Grant Simpson might have something to say about that.
What's that got to do with Grant Simpson?
It's him that sent me down here.
Listen, Wazzick. Meet us outside in 5 minutes and bring the half crown. And don't come back to here. Sorry about subterfuge. This is a tough neighbourhood and they won't have any truck with outsiders.
Can you tell me what's going on?
Not here. I'll take thee to where I live.
Hush, hush, here comes the bogeyman. Don't let him come too close to you. He'll catch you if he can.
Sit thee down, lad. Folk round here call us Tarzan. And this here's my good lady, Ella. I'm doing a bit of business with this gentleman, Ella. Can he make us some tea, love? Now then. I believe they had an half crown.
You were going to tell me what's going on round here that's got people so scared.
Scared? Not the half on it. Folk aren't even bloody petrified.
Why's that?
It ain't safe to talk about it, you understand.
Shall I take the half crown back then?
I'm not saying as I won't, only they shouldn't understand the risk I'm taking in talking to thee. They knows nobody's seen it and lived to tell tale.
Seen what?
Ghost ship. That's what's at the bottom of all this. Bloody ghost ship. Only no bugger will say so.
How do you know there's a ghost ship if everyone who's seen it has not lived to talk about it?
Happened someone has seen it.
Towser tapped the side of his nose conspiratorially. So what did you see?
Well, it's like this. Went wind howls at rigging and moon casts its ghostly shadow a church steeple over at graveyard. That's when it appears. Glowing like green fires of hell and howling with tormented souls of damnation.
And it sails down this canal here?
It's enough to frighten a poor soul to death.
Must be pretty hard to ignore if it's so bright and making all that racket.
Oh, they hear it all right, but there's none as'll cast eyes on it, for it's said any as does will be plucked down to bowels of hell.
Mary and John weren't.
Why, what happened to them?
Vicar of Outwalking his dog. And he found him back canal, barely alive. He managed to get help from Bridge Rat. Doctor said it were touch and go for him.
So the boat must pass right by here?
It doesn't all. I buries me head under covers. It's egg is it willies. Bedroom glowing greed and terrible noise. Just ain't natural.
Aye, there's them as believes old Nicky sends aboard.
Plenty have moved away cos on it. And Bartman won't land here for heaven or earth. They think it's David Jones's revenge for the love boat.
I left the cottage and headed back to the bilge rack through an abandoned mill yard. I found my progress blocked by two thugs.
We hear there's been poking the nose in where it's none of the business, mister. We don't tolerate nosy buggers round here asking questions that don't concern them. So listen, Sonny Jim. Get back to where that's come from and don't let us see thee round here again, or there'll be trouble. Does they understand?
To enforce his point, he unleashed a heavy blow to my stomach.
Has they got a message, or do we have to explain it to some more?
I gasped. Which translated as, "You Nancy boys don't scare me." I struggled to my feet and staggered drunkenly after them to the other side of the wharf, where they climbed into a park van with the words Broadacre Property Development on the side. I awoke next morning with yesterday's events whirring in my mind. In order to get to the bottom of this ghost ship affair, I was going to need help. Fortunately, I knew just who to call. I'd met Frankie a few years back when she was running with a tough crowd of Seventh-day Adventists and found herself on trial for GBH after a turf war had erupted into violence and witnesses had falsely identified a young albino woman with flowing white hair as leading the assault. At the time, I'd been investigating another case in the area, which provided her with an alibi and she got off. The shock of a near prison experience forced Frankie to re-evaluate her wayward course, and she turned her life around, devoting herself to the Salvation Army, subsequently rising to the rank of Major. We'd become close friends, and I was able to put the occasional surveillance or debt-collecting job her way, especially anything that involved the risk of violence. I caught the tram to Batley and walked to the Salvation Army Mission Hall, where I found Frankie at one of her counselling sessions for ex-offenders, where she was busy bouncing an ape-like brute's head against the wall.
Hey up! I'll be with thee in a minute. Now, am I getting through to thee?
Thank you, Miss Frankie.
Right, I'll see thee next week then. What's up, Sam? Have we got a job?
Are you free tonight?
I've a Bible class till 7, but I'm okay after that.
Good. I've a ghost to sort out.
When your mummy comes upstairs to sing a lullaby, tell her that the bogeyman no longer...
So what are we doing here again?
I've brought us up here to this abandoned warehouse because it gives us a clear view of the canal, so if the ghost ship comes, we're sure to see it.
I've made us some sandwiches and a flask of Bovril tea to help pass the time.
Did they hear what happened to Vinnie Stowe? Simpson made him an offer he couldn't refuse. He's given him a position in company.
What? Hanging upside down over a barrel of piranha?
No, a proper job. Acquisitions manager, would they believe? He's doing what he was, only now he works for Simpson.
Well, I never. I underestimated him. That was a shrewd move on his part.
Sam, listen. Can you hear that noise?
What on earth is it?
Look, there's a light.
My God, this must be it. A ghost ship. Come on, let's go down and take a closer look.
Look, he's coming round. How are they feeling? Here, sip this.
What happened?
If Ella hadn't seen me through bedroom window, that bull'd still be out there and probably dead by now.
It was a terrible sensation. I've never been so afraid in my life.
I warned thee to stay away. Does thou believe us now? That's devil's own craft, that is.
Did you sleep all right on the sofa?
Oh, I've had better. Smells nice. What are they cooking?
Eggs and bacon. That was quite an experience last night. I think we need something to fortify us.
That reminds me. Ella gave me this when they were out cold last night.
WeBuyAnyHovel.com. Your house bought at popular prices no matter what condition. For a quotation, visit the old customs house, Calderley Marsh.
I can well understand why folk would want to sell up with that thing sailing about. But it's no supernatural thing. There's a human hand behind it, believe me.
I agree. And this pamphlet gives a motive for scaring people out of the area.
What's they gonna do?
I'm going to the planning office at the town hall. Find out more about the Broadacre Property Development.
Who are they?
That was the name on the side of that van of those two blokes who assaulted me. They have to be involved somehow. I'd had dealings with the planning department before and found them most helpful. As I walked in through the swinging glass panelled doors, a pretty girl behind the counter looked up and smiled.
Good morning. What can we do for you today?
I'm interested in Calderley Marsh.
It's apt you should ask about that. The area's only just been scheduled for redevelopment. It's been quite a contentious decision. Councillor Spencer's allocated a substantial budget towards slum clearance. You may be interested in this. It's a brochure of how the proposed development will look after its completion.
This is very impressive. Housing, shops and even a library. This name on the bottom, Broadacre Property Development. What can you tell me about them?
Nothing really. We've never heard of them before Councillor Spencer put them forward.
Well, thanks a lot. This has been tremendously helpful.
Not at all. Is there anything else I can help you with?
There's just one more thing. Would you like to come out with me sometime? When I got back to the office, the phone was ringing.
Hello, Chevelle Detective Agency.
Is it true that investigating Broadacre Property Development?
That's correct. Who am I speaking to?
This is Councillor Spencer. I'm on Planning Committee at Eckley Council. If that's interested, I can tell thee a lot about Broadacre Property Company. Totally corrupt, bribing officials to break law, have it all documented.
Why don't you take this evidence to the police?
I don't trust them. Found out a senior police officer is on the payroll.
Okay. Why don't you drop the evidence in at my office?
It's too risky. Being watched. Meet us at Canal Towpath by lock gates at midnight.
Hey up. How did they get on at the planning office?
It's very interesting. It seems that the Broadacre Company is behind it all. They're redeveloping the whole of Calderley Marsh. And not only that, I've had an interesting conversation with Councillor Spencer, the head of the planning committee. He wants us to meet him by the canal at midnight.
Meow! Pretend that you're a cat. He'll think you may scratch and that will make him fall down flat.
The clock of St Michael's had just struck 12. Cold mist clung to the air where the locked gates of the canal were silhouetted against the faint moonlight. The water, a strip of black glass, reflecting nothing. Frankie paced impatiently, her breath visible in the cold.
I hope this Spencer wasn't having the on. It could be him, William, and leading us into a trap.
I don't think so. He sounded genuine enough on the phone.
I say we give him another 20 minutes and call it a day. Hey up. What's that floating in water?
At first, it was just a shape drifting lazily beneath the mist. May have been debris, an old log maybe. But as we approached, the light caught something pale, too pale. The body bobbed in the water, its arms spread out as if it had surrendered to the canal. Face staring upward, contorted into a silent scream. It barely moved, like the water itself was afraid to touch it. Seemed now that Spencer wouldn't be making the meeting after all.
Say shoo shoo and stick him with a pin. Bogeyman will very nearly jump out of his...
The next morning, Frankie arrived early at the office.
How did they get on with police last night?
It wasn't too bad. They fished Spencer's body out and I had to go to the police station to make a statement. I didn't say anything about the investigation other than Spencer had asked me to meet him by the canal.
So what's the planning to do now?
I've decided it's time we pulled out the big guns and engaged the services of Mr and Mrs Banter to sell their house at Calderley Marsh. That should show us what's going on.
Oh, heck. We're not dressing up as them again.
Why not? It worked all right last time.
It's thee. They're all assessed to overdo it. Blow the roll up too much. If we're doing it, just keep it simple. Only say what's needed. There's not auditioning for Shakespeare.
That's the customs house over there. Let's get changed.
Eee, that looks a right pip in that old coat and the flat cap.
You're all right. You only need a shawl. Come on. We by any hovel. This must be it.
It's a bit dark in here. I can hardly see a thing.
May I help you?
Bloody hell! That freaked me out of my wits. Can't they afford any lights?
Oh, I'm terribly sorry if I startled you, madam, but as there's no electricity in this old building, we have to suffice with candlelight, and a person as humble as myself would not exceed his station with the extravagance of burning more than the one. There, I think that's better. Now, what can I do for you good people?
Well, good morrow, my man. We are Mr. and Mrs. Banter, and we are inquiring about selling our property on Dead Man's Row.
Well, I thank you for gracing our humble premises today, sir. My name is Mr. Pyle, and I'll be your facilitator this morning, if I may make so bold. Now, let me see. Ah, yes. The properties at Deadman's Row have been valued at £57.
That's extortionate. It says on the advert that they offers popular prices for dockland property.
Oh, that's quite correct, madam. These prices are immensely popular with us.
How do you justify such exorbitantly low amounts?
Well, sir, if I may make so bold as to suggest in my humble way, in the current climate of terror and uncertainty, our prices would seem very reasonable considering the alternative to selling is certain and most horrific death. However, as a special consideration to valued existing tenants, we're offering a reduction on our range of compact economy residences situated under the railway archways at Hudson's Swamp.
I've seen them. They're no better than cardboard boxes.
No, we prefer the term ecologically friendly, affordable residences. Ideal for the first-time buyer.
Well, now you put it like that, it all sounds perfectly acceptable. However, before we commit to the sale, would it be possible to meet your proprietor? I think it would be best for a transaction of this magnitude.
Oh, that's most irregular, Mr. Banter. I can assure you that I'm entirely capable of handling this business.
Listen, cloth ears. Did they not hear what my husband said? We want to see manager.
I'm sure we endeavour to be of service at all times, madam. If you'll excuse me for a moment, I'll inquire if Madam Lynn will see you.
Do you think he bought it?
Oh, certainly. Let's have a rummage round while he's gone.
You're extremely fortunate, sir. Madam Lynn would not normally see clients, but as your valued customers, she's making an exception in your case. Kindly step this way. Oh, but just one moment, please. It's company policy that only the head of the household is allowed into the manager's office. I'm afraid your wife will have to remain here and indulge in something less taxing on her intellect, like looking at the pretty pictures in these magazines.
Agreeable, sir.
If you'd care to release Mr. Pyle's head from the drawer, dear, I'm sure I'll be able to manage on my own.
Yeah, that would be most agreeable, sir.
Just pretend he isn't really there.
The section of the building on the upper floor was in an advanced state of atrophy. Huge areas of plaster had become detached from the walls, and there were large gaps in the rotting floorboards through which I could see the stone wharf and the canal beneath. I groped along the gloomy corridor to where a shaft of light spilled from beneath a door marked Boardroom. I could hear the sound of voices coming from inside. I knocked and went in. The room was surprisingly opulent, considering the state of the rest of the building. A small window cast long streaks of afternoon sunlight over a polished table where a group of smartly dressed businessmen sat, their gazes locked on the woman standing at the head. Sue Lynn commanded the room effortlessly. Dressed in a sleek emerald satin dress that shimmered under the recessed lighting, she radiated an air of quiet authority. Her long black hair, straight as a blade, cascaded over one shoulder, framing sharp cheekbones and eyes that missed nothing. She spoke with a measured confidence, her voice smooth, yet edged with steel.
Please take a seat, Mr. Banter. This won't take long. It's time to take a vote, gentlemen. I need your consensus on the latest plans for the development. Can you signify consent by a show of hands?
You don't seriously expect us to vote for this, Sulin. It's much too great a risk. It's not only immoral, but we could be bankrupted. We've gone along with you so far, but this is too much to ask.
I agree there's a risk, but there has to be a substantial investment in order to reap the lucrative reward offered in this proposal. You have profited greatly from my ventures in the past, gentlemen, and now, I'm afraid to say, this reluctance smacks of ingratitude. I must say, I'm deeply disappointed in you. It is, of course, entirely your decision. If you are not prepared to embrace this bright future I am offering you, then so be it. You can leave by the elevator. I kept meaning to get that fixed.
You appear to have lost your investors.
As I have already extracted all the money they had, they have outlived their usefulness and are of little consequence. They lacked the imagination for an operation on this scale.
You're talking about the Calderley redevelopment.
You know I am, Mr. Chauvel. I hoped the nerve gas of last night would have deterred you from this escapade. If those two meddlers hadn't rescued you when they did, you would no longer be presenting an inconvenience, however temporary.
You know Grant Simpson owns most of this wharf. You won't find him handing over his property as easily as the other gullible residents.
Don't worry, Mr. Chauvel. Like yourself, Grant Simpson will very soon cease to be of any relevance.
I have to hand it to you, Sulin. The ghost ship is a brilliant concept. I can see how people are taken in by it.
Would you like to see it? It's right beneath your feet. Look down there. It looks quite ordinary in daylight, without the ultraviolet lamps activating the fluorescent paint. The loudspeakers and rotating screens make the illusion quite convincing. But now, it's time to say goodbye.
What do you intend to do with that pistol?
By now, your most interesting girlfriend has already been taken care of. So I think it appropriate that you join her. I'll save myself the effort of moving your corpse by allowing it to fall with the rest of the rubbish down there. Step a little closer.
As Sulin leant over the trapdoor, she was unaware of how close her back was to the door.
Hey, up!
Thank goodness you're all right, Frankie. I thought you'd been killed.
Nah, I had to sort out these two chances, but they weren't a problem. What's been going on here?
It took ages to sort everything out. Scotland Yard even sent men up from London to investigate the planning fraud. There'd been an attempt on Grant Simpson's life, but he took that sort of thing in his stride, and thanks to Frankie, the assassins were now in custody. The Calderley Marsh development was taken over by a reputable company formed by Grant Simpson and other investors, approved by the council. The area became known as Budgerigar Wharf, popular with trendier mill workers. The bilge rat was left standing to retain some of the old character, along with Towser's cottages, which were fully renovated. The derelict wharf buildings attained names like Anton's Tripe Bistro and the Designer Outlet, who sold designer clogs and purple braces. Frankie and I received a substantial bonus from Simpson for making all this possible. Several corrupt officials in the planning office were arrested, which probably accounts for why Terry never turned up for our date.